Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on October 9th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something was the premier event at Humanity Montana's Festival of the Book and was also a part of the Missoula Public Library's The Big Read. 11 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, The Things We Carry. This week's story comes to us from Mella Bangs and is titled Playing Monopoly with God. Thank you for listening.
I can't see anyone. I was slightly bored with my bio. I'm going to change that up soon. Needs a little more humor, I think. I'm not going to look at the timer again. So there I was, basking in the glory of a near-perfect birth experience. My daughter Adelaide had come into the world naturally at home with my husband, Eric, and our midwife, Sandano. And it was just perfect. Now, don't get me wrong. It was the most fucking excruciating thing I have ever experienced in my life. And yet, somehow, I was able to find my way back to breath again and again and again. I had this idea that although I knew nothing about giving birth to a baby, that my body probably knew something about it, and that if I could manage to just like stay out of my body's way, maybe she'd pull it off. And so I had these ideas like, okay, I'm not going to brace myself or like run from the pain. I'm gonna lean into it. I'm gonna just keep returning to breath. And I had all these mantras to help myself like lean in to the most fucking excruciating thing I've ever felt in my life. And there were mantras like, I am butter. I am elastic. They would have been funnier if I'd said them out loud. I was saying them in my mind, but my vagina is huge. And what do you know, like 10 hours later, out pops this like beautiful, extraordinary baby, and she's perfect, she's wide-eyed, she's present, she's magnificent. And I have to admit, I got a little cocky. I didn't have one tear, I didn't need one suture, and I thought, whoa, who knew? I mean, I kind of took that like a champ. And I was thinking, you know, well, okay, I know I'm like totally fucking exhausted and I just passed a blood clot the size of a grapefruit, but my vagina is huge. I could not have known in that moment what was coming next. I mean, I know that sleep deprivation is an international form of torture, and anyone sleep-deprived long enough will lose their mind. I just couldn't know that 1 month without any deep sleep would constitute enough. So, you know, some people, like, they want to connect with the divine, so they, like, take peyote and wander into the desert with a shaman, or they, like, take a vow of silence and fast for a very long time on a mountaintop. Me, I just decide to give birth at 40 and not sleep for a month, and all of a sudden, I see God in everything. It's like, I could see the vibration and hear the tone in every living thing and every inanimate object. And I felt as if I was like this open divine channel to all these cosmic ancient truths. And they were coming through me like wildfire. I couldn't keep up with them. One day I take my husband, Eric, I said, babe, there are only ever two choices ever in any given moment in life. Love or fear. And I was really excited. Like, everything was hitting. It was coming so fast. I was so excited. I was like, wow, everything's vibrating. Like, it's vibrating faster and faster and faster. I think it's all going to dissolve. I think it's all going to turn to light. And, well, light is love, and light is compassion. And I wanted to really share with my beloved that the physical was dissolving, and it was just all going to become love, of course, with the arrival of this magnificent baby. And so I did a bunch of wild things. I did this, like, piece of naked performance art for him. And it included, like, drinking the cat water and peeing in the baby swing. And the most magnificent, sort of like the crescendo of the performance, I, like, threw down a glass and I stepped all over with my bare feet. Somehow the message of, like, babe, it is all love was kind of lost in translation in that final moment. And I find myself in the next moment, cut to next scene, in lockdown at the Providence Center with rock hard triple D's and mastitis, and I'm just aching to feed my baby. And I am not going to cry. And I, you know, I wanted to feed her. I wanted to hold her. I wanted to smell her. I wanted to see her. And I really felt as if my arms had been ripped off my body, or several vital organs just ripped out, and that I really might just bleed out. And with that pain also came just this shame, the shame of abandoning her. I mean, I had never met a being as vulnerable as this little being that came out of me, and I'd never been needed as profoundly as she needed me. And I was just gone. I was so far gone. Thankfully, in my particular peculiar experience, there was the pain, there was the shame, but with that came these voices, these gentle, loving voices that were kind of always whispering to me, and they'd say things like, "There is no right or wrong. It is all about intention." They'd say things like, "The past is done. You are forgiven. There is only now, and you are love." And they'd say things like, "Breathe, Mella, breathe." And when I could listen to them, and when I remembered to breathe and I turned to breath, I could have a moment away from just, like, that agony of missing her and feeling like such a fucking failure as a mom. Like, we're a month in and I'd already abandoned my child. And I was allowed in breath and in with these voices, wherever they were coming from, to have some moments in my time at Providence that were quite extraordinary, that were full of wonder and awe and humor and creativity. And I'm going to tell you a few. I remember I believed that everyone's physical flaw was a sign that they too were God. So everyone that come in my room, I'd be like, where's her flaw? Where's her flaw? And there was a nurse who had a wandering eye and another one whose eyes were, like, bug-eyed, and another one who had, like, scars on her neck. I was like, yep, divine, divine, divine. And I had to just, like, laugh out loud when I realized that the two people that really needed to hear me for me to ever get to go home were my psychiatrist and my social worker, and they both fucking wore hearing aids. I was like, what does that mean? I remember one day sitting in my hospital bed looking out the window, and I laughed about something. In that moment, a gust of wind came up, and it, like, twirled these beautiful, vibrant yellow leaves in this pattern, and the pattern seemed to mimic the pattern of my laugh, and that made me laugh. And then it happened again, and that made me laugh again, and the wind and the tree and the leaves and I went on like that for a while together, just laughing together. I remember one night I played Monopoly with God. There were four psych patients and then this male nurse who was in his way. He was so compassionate and loving and funny and smart. And I thought, oh, he's the manifestation of God in the room tonight. There's no doubt about that. And it was so fun. And God and I tied. But not before he agreed to clean up the shanty towns on Mediterranean Baltic Avenue. And I was like, this shit is so cool. Here I am in lockdown, in the psych ward. I've lost my mind, and God and I are eradicating poverty. There were several days where I was absolutely convinced that there was a surprise party being planned for me. And I didn't want to ruin the surprise, but I did want to make sure everyone was invited. So there was a rule. I was on the lockdown dangerous side with the real crazies, and I broke this rule. We weren't supposed to go in other patients' rooms, but I wanted to make sure. I broke the rule of going into another patient's rooms like several times to make sure that every one of Mary's personalities had that face-to-face personal invitation to my party. There was one day that Eric was visiting, and I don't know why, but this fear came over me, a very real fear, terror almost, where I thought, you know what, if he leaves, they might not let him back in. I might never see him again. And so I thought, okay, what can I do? What can I do? I'm going to play dead. If I'm dead, he can't leave. So I played dead. And there's a lot of commotion and a lot of people in the room. And people are like, what's going on? And I think, oh, God, please don't stick me with a needle. I don't know if I can play dead if you stick me with a needle. And they didn't stick me with a needle, but they took my pulse. My plan was flawed. But while playing dead, still quite beautifully, I realized what a fantastic flaw. I mean, if I were actually dead at some point, they'd bury me. But if I'm in a coma, maybe they'll let him like hang out for 10, 20, 30 years. You know, I will never know of the wild, unbelievable experiences I had, perceptions I had, which were the crazy hormone depletion, which was the sleep deprivation, and which was related to any one of the 9 psychotropic drugs I was on in the time that I was there. What I do know is that about after almost a month, my psychiatrist decided it was time to go home. Diagnosis, bipolar. Medication, lithium. Status, stabilized. And they told me before I went home, if you don't want to end up back in here, you have to sleep. Well, within a few days home, insomnia sets in, and I can't sleep, and I'm terrified. And then I start having anxiety attacks, many of them. And it, accompanying that little beautiful band is lithium, which had many side effects, but the most painful or the hardest for me to grapple with was this absolute emotional flattening, this detachment where I knew that I loved Adelaide, but I couldn't feel it. And I had been told that if I were ever to go off the lithium, I would end up back in the psych ward and I would likely hurt Adelaide. And that idea that I could ever hurt her in any mental state was so devastating for me, it really stripped me of my sense of self, and I was paralyzed in that place for quite a long time. Well, I say a long time. It was less than a week where I was just sort of just paralyzed, and then I remembered to breathe. I took a bunch of deep breaths and just found this place in stillness, and at some point I felt like I was almost like knocked over the head with my sense of self, and I said, wait a minute. I know who I am. I'm Mella Banks. I'm one of the most grounded people I know. I've never had depression, mania, insomnia. I've never even had a fucking panic attack. I mean, I gave birth to a baby at 40 and didn't sleep for a month. I thought, there's got to be another answer. And so that started a series of conversations with my Aunt Dorothy, who was a psych nurse for 40 years and a trusted colleague of hers. And they decided, in their opinion, that I was not bipolar, that I was experiencing postpartum psychosis mania. And I really resonated with that. And so I went to find another way, and my midwife introduced me to a naturopath who's amazing, Dr. Christine White, amazing here in Missoula. And she did a hormone panel, and I was bankrupt of progesterone, estrogen, serotonin, melatonin, dopamine. But I was flying with testosterone, adrenaline, and cortisol. And she said, well, this explains it, you know. She's like, I don't know how you got out of bed today. I don't know how you slept. I don't know how you got out of bed today. I don't know how you dressed yourself. I do not know how you drove yourself here. You should not be functioning. She said, this hormonal picture gives you a heightened sense of sight, hearing, smell to see the tiger in the jungle, and you have none of the hormones to figure out what the fuck to do about the fact you just saw a tiger. Amazingly, the regimen she put me on, within 3 weeks, my insomnia, my anxiety attacks faded to nothing, and all that was left was this detachment. And again, returned to breath, got really quiet, and my truth was very clear. It was not in me to live my life in fear and raise Adelaide not feeling love for her, so I went off lithium. And that was almost 2 years ago now. And I have not had a repeat symptom. And, you know, every once in a while, life just kicks your ass. And the bottom drops out. And I find for me in these few experiences that there's like this sense of free fall where you realize at some point, like, oh my God, I have no control. And that there is no way around this experience but through this experience. And, you know, the same was true in birth that was true in madness for me, which was I had to just surrender, completely surrender, and remember to breathe. And at some point in that, I was met with this profound beauty and this wisdom in me that was far beyond my thinking brain, came from someplace else. That little by little guided me back to wholeness. And, you know, for me and my huge bipolar vagina, we're really clear about, you know, in life, there are only ever two choices in every given moment, and we choose love. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana. A local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing, ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers, Luke Morgan Algayer, Marlise Borchers, Michael Lapointe, Jenna Lyons, Kyle McAfee, Melissa Bangs, Jim Ambrose, Francis Scott, Jeremy Smith, Tamara Love, and Josh Wagner. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for February 17th at the Top Hat. The theme is adventure. See you then. Want to tell a story? Call us at 406-203-4683 or email us from the website at tellussomething.org to pitch your story idea.